This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and so is BOGO. Buy one, get one. To order, go to EdenPure.com and put in code word Howie BOGO.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Very sad to watch, actually. They're feeding him questions. They're easy questions. I noticed Peter Ducey didn't get to ask a question today.
That's right, and I mentioned last night that I had a binder full of questions. I think some people were kidding. I was not kidding. We had a lot.
Mr. President, where was there Jim Acosta?
I don't know, to be clear.
Live from the Matthews Brothers studio.
But that pathetic figure in front of the cameras today, in front of a pathetic media. No, the people didn't vote for that guy.
Not my president. I voted for Dole.
Unchained and unstoppable.
And we want to be fair. Now, if I wanted to be unfair, I wouldn't have seated the Republican from Iowa. I would have just said, they're not seated. And that would have been my right as speaker to do.
What a desperate act to have to take.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. This is a very big day in the life of Willard Mitt Romney. It's something that we all expected was coming his way, but today is the official announcement. He is the winner of the Profiles in Courage Award from the Kennedy family for voting twice to impeach Donald J. Trump as president of the United States.
You are so brave. You are so brave.
So brave. How does he feel about that second vote now that he knows the phone call that the Washington Post cited was totally made up, bogus, fraudulent? He probably gets two Profiles in Courage Award for something that he probably, we all kind of understood that the Washington Post made it up. They make up everything else. All right. But I just thought I would go back. Can we go back and look at some of the other recipients of this August Award before we go forward? This won't take long. 2019, Nancy Pelosi won for having the courage to try to throw a duly elected member of Congress out on her ear for breaking all of the masking rules of her home city of San Francisco, for laughing about her $12,000 Sub-Zero refrigerator and the $15 pints of artisan gelato inside, and for so many, many other things, and for calling George Floyd George Kirby, and for saying you don't have the right to cry wolf in a crowded theater. Yes, she won in 2019. Then, of course, in 2017, there was Barack Hussein Obama, just for being marvelous, for knowing that they spoke Arabic in Afghanistan, Austrian in Austria, for going to all of the 57 states. That's what he won for. 2016, Daniel Malloy, who drove out all the... St. Patrick drove the snakes out of Ireland. Daniel Malloy drove all the millionaires, so-called, out of Connecticut. But still, he's doing a better job with the vaccinations than Charlie Parker is. Gabby Giffords won the award in 2013 because she was shot, right? Now, you might think that if they're going to give an award for courage to a Republican, that this was the affirmative action year, this was the token Republican year, you think they might have given it to Steve Scalise, who was actually shot, kind of like Gabby Giffords was shot, but he's a Republican. How about giving it to Rand Paul? He was shot at on the same day by the Bernie bro, the same day that Steve Scalise was shot at the Congressional Republican baseball practice. And then he was assaulted by a moonbat nut, almost killed, collapsed the lung, broken ribs, et cetera, had a lengthy recuperation period after he was assaulted by a nut from Massachusetts. And then he was verbally assaulted with his wife after leaving the White House last summer after the nomination acceptance speech by Donald Trump. But he doesn't get a Profiles in Courage Award either, does he? Oh, In 2009, Edward M. Kennedy. It was a nationwide search. Yes, indeed. So those are just some of the mega worthies that have picked up the award. I'm just, my only regret is that Seamus, the Irish setter, is no longer with us to celebrate this wonderful day and the so deserved award from the Kennedy family.
Splashy, you know I want that ball more than anything in the world.
Uh, 844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number. Oh, it's Ned Lamont is the new governor of Connecticut. He took the place of Daniel Malloy, who now works at the UMaine. I get these Democrat hacks confused in Connecticut. I get them confused in every state, actually. Do you remember earlier this week that the Muslim from Syria killed all the people at the supermarket in Boulder, Colorado, the Kroger's or the Kroger spinoff? And do you remember he was using a rifle, right? And what do they call that rifle? They called it a weapon of war, an assault rifle.
Very fake news.
It was a weapon of mass destruction. So I just point that out. This was what was going on in the world 72 hours ago. Rifles were weapons of war. And how many more Americans would die, Mr. Speaker? And we had to get rid of these weapons of war. So I don't know if you've seen the news in the Boston media, but this morning, a 36-year-old guy, still unidentified, stuck up, robbed a convenience store in Rockland. And he got trapped by the Rockland cops at some point. And he ran into a patrol car, which had been a cop car that had been left running. And I guess that's the protocol, to leave it running. And he grabbed the car and took off in the car. And there was a high-speed chase and a lot of interesting video, a lot of cop cars chasing him. And so they finally trapped him in Quincy between two armored vehicles. And there was a standoff for a while. And finally, this robber from Rockland grabbed the rifle out of its holder in the police car and tried to come out of the car, the police car, with the rifle in his hands. And guess what happened? He got shot and killed. Okay? So the district attorney of Norfolk County, Michael Morrissey, has a press conference afterwards, and he's trying to explain what happened. There's going to be an investigation and all this stuff. And the reporters, some of them, not all of them, but one or two of the reporters are going, did you have to shoot him? I mean, all he had in his hand was a rifle. Wait a second. The 72 hours ago, the rifle was a weapon of war. It was the war. It was going to destroy American society. Now they're going, why did you shoot him? All he had in his hand was a rifle. Why didn't you shoot the rifle out of his hands?
So instead of anybody coming at you, and the first thing you do is shoot to kill, you shoot him in the leg. There's a way.
You shoot him like Hopalong Cassidy used to do. We saw it a million movies. Gene Autry, Roy Rogers and Gabby Hayes would say, good shooting, Roy. Why didn't they do that? Isn't it amazing the way things change like that? I mean, nobody has any kind of institutional memory. They were making these rifles out like they were the worst thing ever. And now they say, all he had was a rifle. Gosh. I don't know why. And geez, we don't know his name yet, but his mother has already been reached for comment, the dead guy.
He's a good boy, a very good boy.
Yeah, exactly. 844-500-4242, 774. Funny that Mitt is taking an award from a group whose originator, Kennedy, savaged him in the 1994 Senate race. Yeah, I know. They said he was a racist. JoJo Kennedy, not the father of JoJo Joe Kennedy, said that he was a racist because he was a Mormon. Remember that? And now he's taking this this prestigious award from them. If there was any doubt about what a sellout Mitt Romney is, this would put it to rest. But there was no doubt, was there? 844-500-4242. 617 says those police rifles aren't locked up. It was in the car. It was in the police car. The police car was answering a call to this robbery at the convenience store. So I assume the rifle was out. It was probably on the back seat, or it's on a rack. I guess if it's like the old pickup trucks, it's on a rack somewhere. All right. But anyway, the point is, I mean, why are the reporters who 3 days ago were hectoring people saying, why are these guns legal? Now they're saying, why did you kill the guy? All he had was one of these guns that you know, we thought were the worst thing since the atomic bomb 3 days ago. Anyway, 844-500-4242. We'll take some calls when we come back. I'm Howie Carr.
Fighting the fake news, one former Democrat stenographer with a press pass at a time. It's Howie Carr.
This is the second time that you have laid hands on me.
When you're slapped, you'll take it and like it.
Howie Carr is back.
I'm going to write the lead for the Boston Globe story tomorrow morning or tonight. Police in Quincy yesterday gunned down an unarmed man with a rifle. He was unarmed. He only had a rifle. Why did they have to shoot him? Good Lord. 844-500-4242. Get clinically proven blood pressure support with delicious Super Beats Heart Chews by visiting superbeatsradio.com/Howie. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third one for free. That's superbeatsradio.com/Howie, superbeatsradio.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Dr. Anthony Fauci says masks are not theater. Do you agree?
No, I do not agree.
94% say they don't agree.
They are theater. I was going to say, what should we best call the press corps? But I didn't know how to pronounce one of the words, panegyricist, or that's someone who writes official exhortations of excellence for state officials.
Well, why were you worried about that? I'm the one that reads the question.
Yeah, but I would have butchered it, and then I would have had to explain, and then I would have butchered it. What do you know? Can you pronounce that word?
I need to see how it's spelled first.
Okay, courtier. I was going to throw in courtiers, hagiographers, bum kissers, rump swabs, Democrat stenographers with press passes, all of which would have been fine, but it just seemed too complicated. Again, I was thinking that there was a word that I'd forgotten, and then I saw it today. Someone actually used it in a highbrow internet piece, panegyricist. Maybe we'll tweet out the word, and you can have it in your arsenal if you'd like it. Steve, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve.
Howie, can you give Mitt Romney just a little bit of credit? He voted against the COVID boondoggle. He'll vote against HR1. He'll work to preserve the filibuster. It won't kill you, will it?
Yeah, but, you know, accepting a Profiles in Courage award after they basically, the same family who called you a bigot. I mean, come on, Steve. I give Mitt Romney no credit for anything at this point. He's a total sellout.
Hello, this is Mitt Romney.
Goodbye, Willard. Thank you, Steve. Frank, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, Howie. So hi. I heard you talking about the Rockland thing, and I'm still getting pieces of that as I'm through the workday here. I haven't heard the whole story, but as far as just hopping in a police car and being able to steal it, which strange to me. I don't want to discuss all these systems over the air, but there are things in place where someone can't just hop in and put it in drive. I mean, there's usually something that would lock that out or a hidden button where you would have to activate before you could do that. and I found that strange. And I don't have all the news, but I don't know if the Quincy incident was separate or the man with a rifle, but those are also almost always locked in place with a hidden button or something that electronically unlocks it. So it's just, seems bizarre.
Well, I mean, I don't think he had a rifle with him when he robbed the convenience store. I mean, what I've read today, I mean, I don't know the protocols either, but I'm told that when the police are supposed to respond to something like this, they're supposed to leave the cars on. Is that true? Do you know? I mean, because, you know, this way, if you have to suddenly begin a pursuit of the person of interest, you don't have to worry about whether the car is going to start or not. You can just put it into gear and take off.
That's my understanding as well. It's very commonplace for police officers to leave the cruisers running at all times.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. We don't know the details. We don't even know the guy's name. But then people are saying, well, I thought the guns were locked up. I thought they were locked up either in the trunk or... But, I mean, what good is it going to do to have it in the trunk if you need it, you know? I mean, I would think it would have to be in the main part of the car, the compartment. I don't know where it would be, but the guy, I have no reason to doubt the narrative that's been put out there by the district attorney that he came out with the gun. And I don't think they were looking. I mean, they had him surrounded. There were a lot of cop cars around. His car, or the Rockland police car, was between two armored vehicles. They had all kinds of SWAT teams. Look on the website of the Herald or the Globe. You see all there. I mean, it looks like a D-Day, you know, with all those cops in Quincy. They're from all the different departments. He was actually shot by a state cop. Lee, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Lee.
Yeah, maybe he was arrested so many times he knew how to use everything in the cop car.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. How much could you have gotten at it? I mean, a convenience store in Rockland at 7:30 in the morning, it doesn't seem like a particularly tempting target for an armed robber, does it?
$80 hit.
Yeah, exactly.
I got a question. What's the press going to say when they start confiscating rifles? Guns. Are they going to be war guns, or are they going to be just rifles, or what, when all this confiscate? You know, I mean...
Yeah, and if someone gets shot, will you be an insurrectionist, or will you be an unarmed man? I guess it probably depends on, you know, how you vote. And, you know, if you're a member of a protected class of people, ethnically, sexual preference-wise, whatever, you know, I guess that's it's going to – I just can't imagine them trying to round up guns, though. This is going to backfire on them big time if they really try this. 844-500-4242. We've said it before, but it's every statistic shows a disproportionate number of the new gun owners are women and minorities, because they understand it as well as anybody else that this society is careening out of control, and you need some personal protection. You need the equalizer. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
So they're saying the guy came out of the police. It's a police SUV, by the way. He came out of it with what they're describing, the Globe is describing, as a police patrol rifle. Is that anything like what they were calling a weapon of war 3 days ago? It's now been demoted to police patrol rifle. And somebody was stuck in traffic on a way to a doctor's appointment, and he was talking to one of the cops who was directing traffic, because they had the whole area south of Boston around Quincy. The Red Line was actually shut down. Fortunately, there's only five people now who take the Red Line into the city in the morning, so there were only five people inconvenienced, but it was shut down for a while. And The cop told this guy that there's a safety in the patrol car to prevent this type of thing from happening, but it was broken. Now, that was unfortunate for all concerned, wasn't it? 844-500-4242. So he was robbing a 7-Eleven on a Friday morning at around 7 a.m. Like I said, I don't think it was a, I don't think it was a repeat of the Brinks robbery. That's for sure. Okay, time now for Grace's News.
Hello, Howie. I have a question. So
yes.
I just saw a cut of White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki sneezing at the podium.
Yes.
And that's okay. We all sneeze from time to time. But did we ever figure out who the reporter was who asked Ted Cruz to put his mask on?
Vincent Snowflake.
Yeah, I want to know who that guy was because they never asked Jen Psaki to wear a mask at the podium, and now she's sneezing at the podium. I just wanted to keep everyone abreast of that
situation. I assume everyone's going
to
be quarantined for at least 2 or 3 weeks.
One would think. My good man, one would think. All right, so how...
Will Cuomo send down some the number two person in the state health department to give swabs to everybody, and then have the state police drive the samples up to the lab in Albany?
No, Howie. Speaking of that story, I know you're waiting on the list of celebrities.
I can't wait.
Yeah, and by celebrities,
what's the over under, folks, on how many people from CNN got the VIP treatment?
Yeah, when they
were killing nursing home patients by the thousands, I'm going to say there were at least 4 CNN honchos, talent and honchos.
Our use of the word celebrities is very broad here because we're considering people like Brian Stelter and Don Lemon celebrities, but we do want to know who was given the special treatment. But Howie, I didn't ask you this yesterday. The story with Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, he was using special VIP privileges to get his family members tested. Are we to assume when they talk about 2 state troopers driving the test results, the swabs, I mean, to the lab in Albany, they had to go to Chris Cuomo's house in the Hamptons, I'm guessing? That's like a 4.5-hour drive.
Well, how about the ones they also went to penthouses on Fifth Avenue or Park Avenue. So, you know, where the really rich people live, the doormen in the buildings and all that, you think it's easy to find a parking space in that area, Grace?
You think it's all Trump supporters up at the penthouses?
No, they should be Trump supporters, but no. The way you got the special treatment, Grace, was you could either be one of the beautiful people and a friend of Chris Cuomo's at CNN, or you could write a check for $50,000 or $100,000 to the Cuomo reelection effort. You know that.
Yes. No, you are absolutely
I want to know the names of those people, too.
Oh, yeah. No, I think you might get a call out of that.
We can't really shame those people, but we can at least, put their names in the tabs, you know, in the New York Post.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Howie, so obviously yesterday was the Biden presser, and there was a lot of good columns on it today. But one of my favorites was John Hinderacher wrote a piece in Powerline, and I thought you would like this line. He says, update, okay, and it's called Biden Meets the Press, updated. Here's the thing. I went on YouTube and saw the press conference was over an hour long. Sorry, I'm not going to watch it. I've only got so many good years left.
I know. I did read that. I laughed. Yeah.
It's true. I mean, I did listen to it live, and we obviously
too.
Have all the sound from it, but... it was pretty brutal. And all the reviews are in. And besides, I think, Jennifer Rubin, most people don't think Joe Biden did a stand-up job.
You know, I just want to say again, I put these in. I tried to get one of them in the column. I don't know if it got in the later editions or not. But when he was reading up from his playbook or his briefing book about what to do with North Korea, and it said consulting with our allies, only he read it as we're consoling with our allies. We're consoling with our allies. And then the thing about the average husband, wife, cop, school teacher pays at a higher rate than, quote, did you catch this one, Grace? Quote, the average person making $1 billion a year.
I don't know that many average people who make $1 billion a year. But
I've met a few couple of billionaires. But I don't think any of them ever made $1 billion. Not the ones I know. I don't think they ever made $1 billion in a year. I guess they're not average billionaires.
Maybe he just means like Jeff Bezos, that kind of average billionaire.
That he's about the only. I'm not even. Does Bill? Do you think Bill Gates makes $1 billion? Maybe he made $1 billion last year, but I don't think the average person making $1 billion a year is even. Except for Jeff Bezos, I don't think there are any.
Well, I mean, Bill Gates does have a book out. It popped up on my Kindle the other day. So according to Bernie Sanders, book deals are pretty profitable. So depending on how the sales of that are going, maybe he's making $1 billion a year.
You know what, you made
$1 billion off your books, didn't you?
You know what? It's really profitable. It's really profitable if you're Andrew Cuomo and you get a $3 million advance and then you only sell 46,000 books.
Howie,
it's really profitable for you, not so profitable for the publisher, who happens to be the publisher of the Brothers Bulger, too, by the way. So that's where all my royalty money is going.
Hey, Howie, this could be a nice little sequel. The brothers Cuomo, perhaps, for you. And instead of the picture of Whitey and Billy Bulger, it could be Andy and Fredo staring at each other.
Like John Heinderacker, I've come to the conclusion I don't have that many years left.
Yeah.
And I can waste one of them by writing a book about the Cuomos. I don't think so.
I love that line. I only have so many good years left. No, but Howie, I totally agree with you. I think that it's crazy he got that book deal for that much. But I do want to say, you said it's around 46,000 books that he sold.
Yes.
I think it's probably 46,002 books, because I think probably one or two journalists bought the book so that they can, you know, have the paper trail of all of his misdeeds. I've seen a lot of these columns now citing passages of his book where he bragged about, you know, getting his family tested or, you know, handling the pandemic. So he might have got a couple more sales is what I'm trying to say.
I really, really want to know the list of the VIPs, though. I can't. I thought we'd have it by now, actually.
I know. In due time. By the way, guys, Grace's News is brought to you by Toyota of Portsmouth, the house of value. I love my new RAV4 XLE. I was talking with Mark from Toyota today about how much I love it. It's finally getting warm here. I've got the beautiful sunroof. But the best part is that if I ever have a problem, I can just contact Toyota. Their staff at Toyota of Portsmouth is lovely. They're so helpful. They're not pushy. They're there when you need them. They're located just south of the Portsmouth traffic circle off 95. Go to toyotaofportsmouth.com or visit them at the showroom and tell them Grace sent you. I don't know if you saw this story, Howie, but Minnesota Theater.
I did. Cinderella.
Cancels musical production of Cinderella because the cast was too white. After careful consideration, and with our ongoing commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion, Shahasan Dinner Theaters has made the decision to cancel our upcoming production of Cinderella. The reason? It was 98% white. That doesn't work with what we're saying we're going to do.
What was the 2%?
I don't know. They don't say. Our hope in the beginning of the production process, again,
with a big cast, if you have 98% white and 2% are minorities, that means you at least have 100 people that you can quantify.
Yeah, but Taylor, don't you find it interesting, because you were in theater, and when we did theater when I was in high school and in college, if they just went based off who was the best. So if the best singer was someone black or Asian, it didn't matter. They would just pick the best person, and they weren't trying to fit based off of the story. Like, they weren't going off of, oh, Cinderella was white, so our Cinderella had to be white.
Yeah, I'd say that's by and large true.
Especially in schools and stuff now, I don't think they really go by that. So I don't know why it matters what play you choose. Howie, what do you think? I know you're a big fan of Cinderella.
I was just thinking how much Minneapolis has changed since the days of Mary Tyler Moore and The Farmer's Daughter.
Well, that was a big reference.
That was a lot for me to take in. I know Mary Tyler Moore. I don't know The Farmer's Daughter.
That was Inger Stevens.
See, if Taylor doesn't get it, then I'm off the hook, because he knows all this stuff.
It was from the 60s. It was from the Patty Duke era. I think it may have been on the same night on ABC as Patty Duke.
Oh, very good. Howie, can I play a couple of sound cuts here that I found interesting?
Yes.
I want to play, and Howie, I don't know if you know that I have stopped listening to Mika and Joe sound cuts. Like, they pop up on Newsbusters, but I don't really give them any mind anymore, because I feel like once you start making Hitler comparisons every single day, it's hard for you to shock me at that point. But I did want to hear this sound cut. Cut 16.
They're just running on anger. And when you run on anger and you don't have actually something to be angry about, it starts to look stupid. I mean, making
starts?
Fun. Okay.
Starts? Now, well, now they're mocking him for having a briefing book.
Let's talk about that briefing book. Did you see this, Howie? He had like a yes. cheat sheet of faces on it. And I'm guessing, I tried to zoom in because I was trying to see if they had Peter Doocy with like a big X across his face or something. Like, do not pick him. But I couldn't get close enough to see what it really was. But it, yeah. if Trump had had that, they would have freaked out.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, they would have said it's another indication that he's losing his mind. He's because obesity, and he is obese. We don't care what the White House doctor says, is associated with senile dementia.
Yeah. And the list obviously did not include Fox News. Peter Doocy didn't get a question. I, Howie, called it yesterday. I don't say this often because most of my hot takes are wrong. But I said, I don't think he's going to call on Peter Doocy. And everybody said, no, he will. He has to. I mean, it's just part of the gig. But he didn't. And I want to hear what Peter Doocy had to say. This is Cut 11.
Anytime that the president has an event where he is given a list of reporters to call on, Fox is the only member of the five network TV pool that has never been on the list in front of the president. And I'm just curious if that is an official administration policy.
We're here having a conversation, aren't we?
Yes, but
and do I take questions from you every time you come to the briefing room?
Yes, but I'm
has the president taken questions from you since you came in, since you he came into office?
Unfortunately,
yes or no?
Only when I have shouted after he goes through his whole list. And the president has been very generous with his time with Fox. I'm just curious about this list that he has given.
So
the only member of the Five Network pool never on it, dating back to when he resumed in-person events in Wilmington during the end of the campaign.
Well, I would say that I'm always happy to have this conversation with you, even about your awesome socks you're having on today, you wearing today, and have a conversation with you, even when we disagree. The president's taken your questions, and I'm looking forward to doing Fox News Sunday this Sunday for the third time.
Wow.
Oh, wow, that's a
tough
one with Chris Wallace. He's one of the cheerleaders. Is Chris going to bring his pom poms this time? And incidentally, you know, Joe Biden isn't the first guy to have a list. Joe McCarthy had a list, and he went to Wheeling, West Virginia.
Lists are usually bad.
Yeah,
general, I mean.
The thing is, you always get caught with them. Joe McCarthy just held up a piece of paper. Later on, they said he didn't even have anything written on the piece of paper when he said he had the list of the 57 communists. But Joe had a list, and it was a real list. Too.
And it had pictures on it, too, which is always always a
Joe,
sign of a good
Joe,
time.
Mr. President, who did the list? Who gave you the list? Cut 8.
Just to be clear, how soon will that be, Mr. President?
I don't know, to be clear.
he's just repeating things.
I don't know,
things.
To be clear. That's a keeper, Taylor. We need that in the rotation. I don't know, to be clear. I know you got it into the intro today, but we just need that one around at all times from now on.
Howie, I will be back at 5:30 for Police Blotter Facts Friday.
All right. Thank you, Grace. You have just hit the jackpot. If you're tuning in right now, you're in luck. I have this amazing all-natural product that you need to try. It's called Balance 7. Balance 7 is one-stop shopping for greater health, increasing your energy levels, improving your digestion, heartburn, arthritis, and so much more, giving you an all-around improved sense of well-being. Check out balance7.com and learn why balancing your body is so important for your immune system system's performance. You've heard these promises from other products, but Balance 7 really does the job it says it will do. Best of all, it couldn't be any easier. Just drink a total of 3 ounces a day, and within 72 hours, most people begin to have more energy, greater clarity of thought, and just feel healthier overall. What are you waiting for? Order your one-month supply at balance7.com. Put in code word Howie to save $10, and you'll get free shipping. Balance 7 is just for you. Order now. If you haven't hit the jackpot before, Balance 7 might just be your biggest win ever. Order your one-month supply at balance7.com. Put in code word Howie to save $10, and you'll get free shipping. It's a great product. That's balance7.com, code word Howie. Balance7.com, code word Howie to save $10 and receive free shipping. I'm Howie Carr.
Follow Howie on Twitter, @HowieCarrShow. You won't regret it.
Say what you will about him.
He's a common, ignorant slob. He don't even speak good English.
He doesn't even speak good English.
He's Howie Carr, and he's here to stay.
And I have to say, I was also struck by the fact that it seemed on every foreign policy question, not the others, but on foreign policy, he went to his briefing book like Jen Psaki does sometimes in the briefings and was reading, obviously, White House guidance, White House talking points.
But he couldn't even read those properly because they said, we're consulting with our allies on North Korea. And it came out of his mouth as we're consoling.
He has very selective pronunciation. Most of the time he's mumbling, but sometimes, especially with the word 40, he'll say 40. But he won't pronounce any other words correctly.
He also pronounced 1,000 as 100,000. Did you notice that?
I did notice that. Yeah, a few extra syllables.
Yeah, let's. I want to play the cut of the Southwest pilot on the hot mic. This was coming into San Francisco. This was a guy who was flying in. He's not a big fan of the Bay Area.
21-43 is ready to go. Yeah, this place. Damn liberal. Probably like 8 guns out here somewhere. That's it. Weirdos. Probably driving around them Hyundais. Lower than go slow as.
And last calling on tower, that's 12410, hot mic.
If you don't have balls in this, you're f***ing rolling coal, man. Damn it.
You know, the amazing thing is at least 25-30% of the people that live in San Francisco feel exactly the same way, maybe more nowadays. Nancy, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Nancy.
Howie, how are you?
Good.
Good. Listen, did you see the press conference today with Jen when Peter Ducey asked why he wasn't on the list for the Biden press conference yesterday?
Yes, and she talked about his socks. We just played the cut.
Can you imagine if that was a male talking to a woman about his dress or how?
I hadn't even thought of that. You're absolutely right, though, Nancy. That would be sexism, and now it's not just sexism. They have another word with even more syllables, misogyny, right? Oh yeah. We only make 82 cents for every man, and then they talk about our stockings. Very good point, Nancy. I'm Howie Carr.